Psalm 139. Today, in honor of Labor Day, we're going to do a message created for good works. Created for good works. That's what you and I are. Everybody here still breathing? Okay. I ask that a lot of times. But if we're still breathing, there's good works that God has us to do. How many today, by a show of hands, are truly a born-again Christian? Okay. And so you have the Spirit of God living inside of you, so you know that you're still available for the Lord, the Lord's purposes in that way. So I wanted to start our message today, created in for good works, in Psalm 139, verse 14. Notice what it says there. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. Let's look at that again. The psalmist is crying out, I will praise you, speaking of his praise for God. And why does he do that? For I am fearfully. That being interpreted is, I'm not sure. For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Yes, she says. I think it's a she, or is it a he? Okay. Fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. See, you and I are special. We're not to receive that in an incorrect way, but we are to understand that God has created you and I very specially. He was there the moment that we were conceived in our mother's womb. He designed us. He put inside of us certain gifts. He set in place before the foundations of this earth were in place, things that he desires for each and every one of us. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. We are special people. Now, the world tells us other than that. Our flesh definitely tells us that. We know more so than anybody else that sometimes we can be characters, right? We can be characters. We know that. But God in his scripture over and over and over tells us that we are, as it says there, fearfully and wonderfully made. And then he says of us, marvelous are your works, for we are his works. Now go with me, please, to Ephesians chapter 2, please. I wanted to go here, and we will come back to this, so keep your finger there, but Ephesians chapter 2. Paul the apostle says in beginning in verse 8, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. So we've been given a gift. Notice, not of works that we could do, lest anyone should boast. No one will boast about that. It's totally the work of God. And here's the verse that we will look at this morning just briefly. For we are, notice, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. I believe the creator of this universe is an awesome God, don't you? He's all powerful, he's all knowing, he's all present. We know him as the Bible reveals him to us. Psalm 139 spoke of that too. And so he's telling us here that we are his workmanship. We are created in Christ Jesus. For what reason? For good works, that's you and I, but then which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. God has a plan individually for you, he has a plan individually for me. And we have to trust him in his plan for us. And we walk in that. Sometimes things don't go the way. You ever notice things don't always go the way that I would like them to go or you would like them to go? But as we trust the Lord, we see that it's all part of his plan. I've never walking in the Lord now for over 40 years, I've never seen that his plan is not so much better than my plan. And so we have this beautiful privilege. We are created for good works, as it says here. Now go with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. So that's what I wanted to address in overall, but I want to get a little specific right now, if you would bear with me just for a moment. We live in challenging times. Anybody say yes? I heard a couple groans. That's an understatement, is it not? Now keep in mind that there's an enemy. There's an enemy in the garden, Lucifer, the dragon, Satan, the devil. We know that he's there trying to destroy. He's trying to take anybody, any human being, to hell. God has an invitation, as we know according to Scripture, for all human beings to be with him in heaven. That there is an enemy. I don't understand the overall plan of God, but it's been set in place before the foundation of this earth was set in place, and we're marching through it day by day, month by month, year by year. But overall, there's a lot of things going on right now. And look at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and this is for all of us, verse 13. Notice what it says, watch. Stand fast, where? In the faith. Be brave. Another translation would say, act like men. Be men of courage. Naturally, women of courage too. Be strong. So look at it again. Watch. We are to be people that are watching. We're not to be blind. We're not to have our head in the sand. We're to be aware of what's going on in this earth so we can pray. I pray that you guys were praying for those in Afghanistan to get out of Afghanistan. I pray that we're still praying for those in Afghanistan that are there, still stuck, to get out, because God will answer our prayers, and it's important that we do that. I pray that we're praying for protection for our military. So many different things that we can pray for the streets of the United States of America, things that go on. It's just crazy in this world today. And so we are to watch. We're not to be blinded. And I know sometimes when we look at the world, it's kind of a scary place. I understand. I feel that way. Sometimes it's easier for me to ignore. But I can't ignore, because I know that God has a purpose. He wants me to pray. He wants me to be sensitive. How can we reach out? How can we be involved? Does he want us to send some money to an organization that's helping down in Louisiana or over in New Jersey or something like that? Got to be watching. Got to be paying attention. And so that's what Paul the Apostle says here, watch. And that's an encouragement for us today, because we are created for good works. And we have to be on our tippy toes. We have to be straining our necks. We have to be looking around, I believe. What is it that you would have us to do, Lord? Is there anybody that you would bring across my path that has a need? Yes, we have needs. God meets our needs. And as he meets our needs, he wants to use us to meet the needs of other people. So watch. And then he encourages us to stand fast in the faith. We're going to need to stand fast even more so. There's people lying to us. Is that true? Somebody, over this side, they're awake over here. They're lying to us. I'm not going to get super specific right now, but I want you to know the world is lying to us. It's lying to us. And I'm not talking masks, no masks. I'm not talking shots, no shots. I'm talking way beyond those issues. They're lying to us. And they're trying to rip us off as Christians. And I don't say this to, I know there's young people here, but there's challenges coming our way as Christians. And so what it says that we must watch, we must stand fast in the faith, and we must be brave. Today, it would be good for us to be brave. Whatever that is for you and I, men, women, young people, elderly people, we are to be brave. That's the challenge that we see that. We are to be brave, because it's going to take us standing up as we continue to go forward. They're lying to us. They're telling us things that aren't true, because they want to bring a four-letter word into our life, F-E-A-R. Now, am I right or wrong, ladies and gentlemen? Okay. That young heart, I heard go, right! So it's not to make anybody afraid. That's not the intent of this. Watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. And notice verse 14, let all that you do be done with love. That's what we're to do as we're looking. How do we reach out? How do we walk in love? How do we continue to do that? Now go with me, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. Go back there, please. I could quote these verses, but I want to first just have us turn so we can look at them. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Notice what Paul said to Timothy. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. He's not given us a spirit of fear. This world gives us a spirit of fear. The enemy gives us a spirit of fear. He wants us to be afraid. Now, I'm not saying we're supposed to be foolish. I'm not saying we're supposed to be stupid. But I can say we are not to be fearful. Now, is that easy? No, not necessarily. Because as things change, things are going to change as we continue to go forward. Things are going to change in ways that we can't even imagine. They're going to change. Are we going to watch? Are we going to stand strong? Are we going to be people of faith? But notice again, for God has not given us a spirit of fear. Whenever we fear, and I, like you, have moments where, golly, I recognize this fear that's in my heart. I've not been down this road before, Lord. You want me to lead this way. I'm not sure how to lead this way. I'm not sure what my experience is telling me right now because it hasn't been in the past. This experience hasn't been there, so I could look back and get that. But I know one thing that is common is the Lord and walking in faith and trust and believing in Him and watching Him do what He can only do. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You and I today as Christians need to step up. I'm saying that to myself. Notice I said you and I as Christians need to be prepared. We need to be ready to step up in prayer, in action, whatever it would be. We must be aware of what the enemy is trying to do. Now go with me, please, to 1 John chapter 4. Keep moving back towards the end of the book there. 1 John chapter 4. First John chapter 4, verse 18. Notice what John says. There is no fear in love. Now, God is love, First John tells us. By John saying that, he's not saying that's an attribute or a characteristic of God only. By saying that, he's saying, guess who God is? God is love. How many believe that? So if God is love, because He is totally love, and He does everything that He does in love, there's nothing that He does not in His love. So we can trust Him, whatever comes our way. Difficult things come our way. My wife and I watched our two grandchildren die before they were 2 years old. That wasn't a pleasant experience, but we knew in the midst of that, God is love. We know that He's in charge of all of that. We do go through challenging times. We do. It's not something that we volunteer for, but we can never, please listen to this, we can never doubt that God loves us. Never. Don't ever buy into that. Don't doubt it, because the Bible says that God is love, and He loves, for God so loved the, that He gave His only, that whoever shall not, but, is that not a statement of love? Total love. God is total love. So when we look at this verse here again, there is no fear in love. Now, I'm not perfect, but it's a challenge for me to realize that when I fear, I'm not operating in trust, faith, in God's love. But perfect, notice that, complete love casts out fear. That's the avenue I want to go. That's what I want to embrace. Because I, like you, at times fear. I'm fearful. What's coming our way? What's it going to be? What are they going to do? And then I have to get out of there as soon as I can. My flesh is there. So I try not to stay there. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, but he who fears has been made perfect or mature or complete in love. Don't you love that? So that's what we strive for, love in that way. There is no fear in love. Now go with me back to Ephesians chapter 2, please. So with all that in mind, let's go back to verse 10 again of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. In honor of Labor Day, the message created for good works. Notice verse 10. For we are His workmanship. You and I are created in Christ Jesus. Why? For good works. Tell me about those good works. Well, God prepared them beforehand. That for what purpose? That we should walk in them. That is an amazing verse, is it not? So much truth there. There's a number of principles I want to just start with very briefly, but then we'll get into this verse and then close not too long from now. Three principles that enable us to fulfill the good works God has created for us. Number one principle, as a believer in Jesus Christ, we have been given all the provisions we need for fulfilling God's ministry through us. Do we believe that today? Let me say it again. You and I, as believers in Jesus Christ, have been given all the provisions we need for fulfilling God's ministry through us. It's guaranteed. It's there for us as we walk in that. God has given us His Son. God has given us His Word. God has given us His Spirit. All of those things we have, His Word, His Son, His Spirit. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God. We have the Spirit of God dwelling inside of us. Is that not amazing? We know according to Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit came, the day of Pentecost fully came upon the church, and the church was birthed at that point. And God, the person of the third person of the triune God, the Holy Spirit, stepped into human lives at that point. It's amazing we have Him. He's given us His Word. All scriptures given by inspiration of God is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Everything God has given us, His Son, His Word, His Spirit. The next principle that enables us to fulfill the good works that God has created for us, God gives us as believers spiritual gifts. In addition to natural talents and abilities, each of us have natural talents and we have natural God-given abilities that He's given us, but He's given us supernatural spiritual gifts. And we are not here to study those, but you can find them in 1 Corinthians, you can find them in Ephesians, you can find them in the Romans. There's approximately 22 spiritual gifts as we look at them inside of you and me right now, instilled by the Holy Spirit, are spiritual gifts. Now, you might sit there and say, no, I don't have any. No, don't believe that. You have spiritual gifts. Principle number three, God has a unique plan of ministry for every believer to fulfill. When each believer faithfully serves in his ministry, the entire body is built up in love. So we're all needed. All of us are needed for each other. When a believer uses spiritual gifts in a biblical way, it fosters care for one another. So we need to use these gifts that God has given to each and every one of us. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared for beforehand that we should walk in them. We are. That's our present condition today. We are. It's a statement. It's a statement of fact. We are. This points to the present reality that Jesus lives in us. That is an amazing thing. That's our present reality, our present condition. We are His, our present master. He's our master. This points to the present reality of who owns us. And I'm thankful that He owns us. Amen. Tells us in 1 Corinthians, and you can go there just for a moment, chapter 6, if you'd like. It's an amazing statement. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. I'll leave a little bit for you guys to get there. Look at verses 19 and 20. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought at a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. I love those two verses. I just love them. I realize it's not about me. I belong to God. Man, that is so wonderful. Picture of 1 Corinthians 13, the love chapter. That's who I belong to. All that love that is there. He loves us. Go back again now to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are His workmanship. He's our master. Our present privilege, our workmanship. This points to the present reality of who we are in Christ Jesus. And we see this word is the word poema in the original language, which points to a poem. So Christians are God's work of art. Now that is easy to understand. Sometimes don't you turn to the person next to you and go, you're really a work of art. Right? It's meant to be another way. You are a work of art. You're God's work of art. How exciting. You are amazing. That's what we're supposed to do, right? Not you're a work of art. We are His masterpiece. That's what He says right here. Understand that. Live in that. For we are His workmanship. We are His masterpiece. He's a tapestry in our life today. He's been doing that. No matter how old are you now? 19. So much potential there, amen? So much potential. Imagine what will happen. He stays close to Jesus. He sits here in the front seat, or the second seat there. I don't know if his mom makes him, but anyway. At 19, she doesn't make you anymore. But you know, workmanship, masterpiece. You guys with me on that? That's who we are. In the midst of this crazy world, in the midst of the enemy trying to make us afraid of what's going on, Scripture tells us, you are God's masterpiece. Anybody say, praise the Lord? Anybody say, hallelujah? What next? Praise hallelujah. For you that are visiting, we put them together. Praise hallelujah that way. Notice that. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Our present position, we are new in Christ. Listen to Scripture. Therefore, we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's our position in Christ. In 2 Corinthians 5:17, you guys know it. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, he is a old things have. Behold, all things have. That's who you and I are. Amen. Am I getting stupid right now? But that's the truth. That's who our present position. This is who we are today in the midst of this battle. They're lying to us. They're trying to make us afraid. It's not an issue of mask. It's not an issue of taking the back. You've never heard me say wear a mask or not wear a mask. Anybody ever heard that? I would never do that because that takes away your freedom. Anybody want to wear a mask? Wear a mask. Anybody don't want to wear a mask? Don't wear a mask. Okay? Now, I might have my personal feelings about that, but that doesn't matter. Shots. Do what God shows you to do, whatever that is, okay? If you want to get the shot, get the shot. If you don't want to get the shot, don't get the shot. And I know there's people who will be mad at me on both sides, okay? Both sides, I know that. But I am not here to tell you what to do. I can't do that. That's crossing over a line. You belong to Jesus. You don't belong to Bill. Amen? But they're trying to use these things to make us afraid. They're lying to us. Does everybody realize that? I know I'm getting weird. I'll say it again. Say it with me. They're lying to us. Now, that doesn't mean there's not real things going on. For somebody that doesn't know me, I know and understand real things. I deal with those all the time. There's people. There's people here. I'm speaking to people. Have you noticed that? You guys are people. You're precious in the inside. Jesus died for you. I have no right to influence you incorrectly in any way whatsoever. That is a fearful thing when you stand here. It truly is. Fearful thing. Because you guys do listen, and I appreciate that. I don't know why, but you do. But it's a fearful thing. You don't belong to me. And so I must encourage the way. Straight to Scripture is what I point people to. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24, it says, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in truth, righteousness, and holiness. As new persons in Christ, we are to seek higher things. Paul tells us in Colossians chapter 3, if then you were raised with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ is, sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on the earth. I don't know about you guys, it's been hard at times to set my mind on things above, because the things below are just gobbling up. Anybody, yes? Anybody, you agree? You know, they're just there at times. It's just difficult. So we fight through it and we go, and my mind on Christ, on Christ. Now, he gives us wisdom. He doesn't want us to be stupid. He wants us to be spiritually alert. We're seeing in these scriptures and being aware of that. So it's very important that we would do that. In Ephesians, it says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus. Here it comes, for good works. That's our present calling. We are called to glorify God. We are called to enrich other people's lives. We are called to furnish a pattern for imitation. Our lives, it says this, in all things showing yourself to be a pattern of good works. We are to do that. We are to summon others to their task. In Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24, and let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. So for good works, our present calling, we are to do that. To demonstrate the reality of faith, I love James chapter 2. It says, thus also faith by itself, if it does not have works, is useless. But someone will say, you have faith and I have works. Show me your faith without your works, and I will show you my faith by my works. You and I today, we're alive. We have Jesus in our hearts. If you don't, I ask that you would give your heart to the Lord before you leave. It's a wonderful life. And so today, we are designed by God, fearfully made, wonderfully designed for good works, which God prepared beforehand. In Ephesians chapter 1, it says this, this is our present rest. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, in him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. It's amazing. You believe in Jesus? Where are you going to go? Heaven. How long are you going to be there? Forever and ever. What's in heaven? Jesus. Is it beautiful or not beautiful? It's beautiful. I've never been there. Maybe you guys have. But the Bible tells me it's beautiful. That's where we're going, brothers and sisters. That's where we shall be before we know it. We shall be with him forever and ever and ever. In the meantime, we are created for good works, you and I. Good works, whatever God has for us. It's beautiful. And that we should walk in them. As we wrap up the message this morning, and again, look at Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, for good works, which God prepared beforehand. And here it is as we close with this, that we should walk in them. That's what we do. We walk in new life, it tells us in Scripture. We walk in faith according to Corinthians. We walk in the Spirit according to Galatians. We walk a worthy man in a worthy manner according to Ephesians. We walk in love. We walk with caution. We definitely do that. We walk in the light. In 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says this, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from what? All sin. And all means? All sin. That's how our Father sees us. The finished work of Jesus. Remember Jesus on the cross said what? Tetelestai. It is finished. It's finished for you and I, ladies and gentlemen. They're lying to us. They want to bring us into fear. understand it, evaluate, make the correct decisions led by the Holy Spirit, but don't allow love to be taken away, because we're going to need to stand strong. We're going to need to stand strong because they're coming for us. I am convinced they're coming for us. The enemy wants us. They do. Is that a scary thought? It is in ways, but we're not to fear, because we serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We walk like Jesus. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 6, he who says he abides in him ought himself also to walk just as he walked. In closing, go to Romans chapter 12, please. Verse 1, Paul the Apostle says, I beseech you, I beg you, speaking to you and I, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service, your act of spiritual worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Amen? Amen. I pray the message today has been a message of encouragement, but also challenge. I just felt that today we were to look at, you and I are created for good works, and may we march in them. May we run in them. May we do whatever God wants us to do, not what Bill wants us to do, not what a church staff wants you to do, what he wants you to do. Find that path. Find what he wants and do it without fear. Again, 1 Corinthians, I love that. 1 Corinthians right there, chapter 16. I love that verse. 1 Corinthians 16, watch. Stand fast in the faith. Be brave. Be strong. Let all that you do be done with love. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, we love you. We thank you for the truth that I believe has been stated in Scripture today. Lord, let not one of us be discouraged today. Says in Scripture, there is therefore now no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. Today we have victory, because according to Romans chapter 8, we are victorious in the midst of the battle. Nothing shall separate us from the love of God. Nothing whatsoever. We are fearfully and wonderfully created. And we thank you for all that you've done for us. So just bless us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.